Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the Thanksgiving edition of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And tonight I'm going to ask you, what are you thankful for? Let's make it in the world of soccer, but I guess it can be other things. What are you thankful for in the world of soccer? That's one of the questions. Can the Dynamo get it done in the second leg in Seattle? And also, let's get some thoughts on last night. 22,600 plus at BBVA Compass Stadium. Walking up to that game, the atmosphere felt just incredible. It was a happening. You could feel it. Things were bubbling. They were percolating. And as always happens, there's two ways these things can go. It can go like back in 2006 when Brian Ching scores four goals and the Dynamo re-enter the soccer market from a professional standpoint after an absence in huge dramatic fashion. Last night, sadly, it didn't live up to it for the Dynamo. They end up losing 2-0 to Seattle, which in some ways I'm going to say right now is a better result than maybe we could have expected based on the fact that Seattle came into this, played the game, two-thirds of the game, a man up after the sending off of Jahlil Anibaba. So what are your thoughts here tonight? 713-780-3776. Want to get a contribution from you, the listener, and I want to take your opinions on last night's game, the atmosphere, and all that went along with it. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. I don't think any question. One of the big takeaways has to be the environment. Stadium has been normally half full this year. There were people in all the seats last night. I did not see empty seats. The energy, the excitement, the new faces that were out there, it was a happening. So give me your reaction to last night, the first leg, 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Victor Arises got us hooked up on Facebook Live. We're hoping the Dynamo are going to do that. And here at ESPN 975, we'll get it shared on Facebook Live as well, which has been awesome. I can't say thanks enough because normally I'm calling the game. Last night I was not. I was involved in a couple of little things around the Dynamo. Did a little small talk for Brian Ching and the Dynamo in the lounge on the second floor there, which was very interesting. And basically what I said in that small talk was a couple of things, but it was very, very quick. I just said tonight has to be the standard bearer. This is what we need to come to expect of a Dynamo game. And we need to do our share in it too as fans. But this is what we need to come to expect and set the standard of a sellout crowd. Why can't we be like Toronto FC, Seattle, Atlanta? We are a soccer city, and I can't stand when people are critical of our city when it comes to soccer. We got tons of soccer fans. We have tons of potentials. We do need to get out of the excuse business of the weather, of we're a transient city, all that. That's tiring. It's fatiguing. Nobody wants to hear that anymore. We do want to get to the point where games are more like last night, and there's a big buzz. And I know that's a special, unique night last night because it is playoffs, but the team is interesting. The team scores goals generally, not right now in the playoffs, and does win at home. We've also learned that just winning at home is not going to bring fans to games. That is a part of it. They're not going to roll back organically. So a lot was learned. But I guess my main message to everybody was let's set the standard high. Let's enjoy this. Let's be excited. I mean, it was so much fun going into that stadium last night because there was a feel like we haven't had there in so long. I was at the King's Court next door. I was standing talking to five guys. All had played college soccer in Houston. All had played youth soccer in fields around Houston. All had went on to play college soccer. One guy won a national championship at Trinity. All great stories. One guy got to, a national championship, Final Four, Division II with Midwestern. All guys with jobs now. All guys with good jobs. Disposable income. Kids, in many cases. And they don't go regularly. And yes, it's tough for families. But these are the potentials. This generational turnover. This youth. These are soccer fans. They're out there. And it was just wonderful to see the excitement, the reconnection that they had talking to each other. Because it was all set up. They had decided to come to the game together. And in the end, you sit there and you listen to these guys and you realize that the sport means a tremendous amount to them. They're passing it on to their kids. They love the sport. They want to see it thrive. And that it just reminds you that this turnover is occurring consistently. And there are tons of potential soccer fans out there. And that we have to now take some ownership in this also as fans. 713-780-3776. And that means being upfront honest about the things that will get you to the stadium. 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's, Tyler, let's run this first soundbite here. Here's what it sounded like. The Dynamo Seattle Sounders first leg last night. 22,600 fans there. Here are the highlights from that night, including the goals and also the sending off of Jahlil Anibadaba.
Well, the type of night, the type of atmosphere you would want for a game like this. Now back on the doorstep of MLS Cup. Lodero, more journalist this time. Svensson, who a week ago was helping Sweden make the World Cup, now has the opening goal of the Western Conference Championship.
When it comes to crunch time, you have to maintain your focus. The Dynamo missed a set piece down the other end, and then they're punished for one, and a team that was the best defending them all season. It's just Gustav Svensson just beats his man to the ball, and it's an excellent header to the back post.
Jones running in front of Lodero. Here it comes. Lodero got there, and it's Jones pulled back. From Chris Penso as well. Red card comes out to Jahlil Anibadaba. Just the second Houston player all year to be sent off. Nicholas Lodero 4-for-4, including a penalty in the first leg of the Western Conference Championship a year ago against Colorado. This could be the turning point of the series, and it is a save from Willis. Jones looking in for Bruin. Houston's playoff coffin, two goals down, a man down. It has been a disaster for the Dynamo tonight. They've earned a victory. It's the second team ever to win a playoff game in Houston.
So the call there from Fox, John Strong, Stuart Holden, and Landon Donovan. All right, so let's go back to this game. First of all, the Dynamo come out flying. In the first minute, they earn a corner. Albert Elise has a wonderful opportunity off a header. Doesn't put it on target. Dynamo score there. Who knows how the night goes. Seattle will get one in the 11th minute. It was Gustav Svensson. He lost Eric Alexander, who was marking him. It was a soft goal. It was a very preventable goal. And as John mentioned on the broadcast, the Dynamo have been great, or maybe it was Stewart, the Dynamo have been excellent at defending set pieces and corners. And they've done that wonderfully all year long. But this was as soft as it gets. And it was just too easy. And what it did was it gave the tactical advantage to the Seattle Sounders. It allowed them to limit space behind themselves, sitting a little bit deeper, but it gave them control of the game. Scoring the first goal in that game was vital for the Dynamo, and it never happened. So, didn't mean the game was over, but it meant the night was going to be very, very different. The Svensson header was soft. So, 1-0 at that point. And now Seattle is able to, through their ball possession, control the middle third of the field. And by the way, excellent in that. They never lost the ball in bad areas, which is a way the Dynamo can hurt you. They took care of the ball wonderfully. Lodero, Dempsey, Svensson, By the way, who's Osvaldo Alonso? How about Svensson? How about that? The performance he had. Not only scores the goal, but excellent with the ball all night long. They didn't skip a beat without Osvaldo Alonso, and we all know how talented he is. Jovan Jones getting forward. Their backs were good with the ball at their feet. So the Dynamo this game, if you go watch a youth game, you say to yourself, look at the other team, how often they give the ball back to an opposing youth team because they give it to you. You don't even have to defend and work to defend for a longer period of time to get it back. It's given to you. Seattle did not give the ball to the Houston Dynamo in bad areas. So then Jahlil Alibaba gets an arm across Jovan Jones. Jones goes down easily. It leads to a penalty. It leads to his sending off, and the game has changed in a bigger way. If you go back and look at that, you can see how it could be called either way. Some referees would have looked it off in a final. Jones goes down. He does go down easily, but the bottom line is Jahlil gets his arm up there. Leads to the penalty. Joe Willis saves not a great penalty, but it's a big moment. You heard the fans. I mean, in those highlights, you heard the fans. This place was drumming. And at that point, you expect the Dynamo to get some momentum. And actually, the momentum turns a little bit to Seattle for the next couple of minutes, a couple of goal-mouth scrambles. It could have been very different. So 1-0, you're hoping to get to the locker room, and Jovan Jones comes up the left side. Machado's occupied with another player. La Pantarita is slow to get any pressure on Jones, so Jones gets his head up, and he absolutely hits a pinpoint cross. Will Bruin is making a run between DeMarcus Beasley and Leonardo. Now, they're static. They're standing. Will Bruin is moving. And Will Bruin scores a fantastic header, the former Dynamo. And it's a big goal. It's pinpoint delivery. It's lack of pressure on a ball. But it's two very preventable goals. And good teams punish mistakes. That is what Seattle did. They punished big mistakes. And fortunately for the Dynamo, I would say they got out at 2-0. Now, we can talk about the lineups. There's a lot of people talking about Dylan Remick should have started. There's a lot of choices. One thing we have to admit here is that there's been a rotation policy this year. And it's real easy to go and blame it on a lineup. I would blame the real first piece of challenge on the night, and there are challenges always in these games, to the fact that you conceded off a corner. So it kind of set the wheels in motion of playing catch-up. Sending off made it more difficult as well. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Now, the lead up to this game, we heard a lot of the Dynamo being the underdog, and maybe the Dynamo were the underdog. Yeah, they are playing the defending MLS Cup champions. I didn't really buy into that so much. I don't think knowledgeable commentators were saying, they may have been saying that, but they were caveating it with that we know the Dynamo are very dangerous, and this is a good Dynamo team. All the commentators I talked to, we're not counting out the Dynamo, nor were they saying this was game, set, and match for the Seattle Sounders. I don't know what you were hearing. There was too much of the underdog stuff for me, and we're going to get into that a little bit with Victor Ariza here in a minute. Now, maybe that's a form of motivation. I don't know if that was being manufactured. But the Dynamo had played well against Seattle all year long and were at home, honestly, a place they had only lost one time. So why wouldn't the Dynamo be on equal footing with Seattle heading into this game? 713-780-3776. Give me your thoughts tonight. Hey, Houston, come on. Get some opinion out here tonight because this is your team. Do they have a chance in the second leg? Albert Elias is suspended due to yellow cards. Not available. Big miss. Do you know what? You go to Seattle and you get the game's first goal, and all of a sudden, momentum can switch. but you're going to have to get the game's first goal. If you don't get it, it's game, set, and match. Let's go to Eric. Eric, what's on your mind tonight?
I have two takeaways from that game. My first one is, why is Torres not giving more chances? I mean, at the beginning of the season, he was practically the only player scoring goals. And now that, I lost his name, and the Pantera.
La
I think he's suspended, right? I think he's suspended for the next game, right?
Yeah, he's suspended, yep. He's definitely suspended.
Do you think that Torres will get a chance to play?
I would think so. I think Kubo, from a goal-scoring perspective, has dropped off a little bit. I think last night they went with movement and mobility with Pantarita, Alex, and of course, Mauro Manotas. But I think Kubo Torres has to be a part of the next game, I would imagine. I don't think there's any question. They've had a lot of competition up there, but he hasn't scored a lot of goals as of late.
Especially being down two and you need to score goals.
Yeah, no. He's a goal scorer. You're going to need him in the game. But the Dynamo as a team haven't been scoring goals. We have to remember, the reason they're where they are right now at the end of the season, Eric, for me, is because of their collective defending. They were scoring a boatload of goals at the beginning of the year. They found their attack and balance between defending and attacking. And then they evolved into this better defending team at the end of the year, and that's really what's gotten them through. If you remember the Kansas City games, you remember the Portland series, a lot of it has been about defending. So they're going to have to find their goal-scoring cues in the next game. I don't think there's any question.
Yes, they really do. And also, I'm from Mexico. I love soccer. So I don't know. This season I went to maybe 8 to 10 games.
Okay.
But I think the other reason that people don't go is because I don't see like a lot of promotion like they do for the Astros and the Texans. And it's rare to see them on Spanish TV. I know there's a lot of people that love soccer, and if you could get the Dynamo on TV, on Spanish TV, you will get that Hispanic to go see the games.
Eric, this is really interesting stuff you're saying. I want your opinion on something here. Are you buying this whole thing where, do you buy it that, you know, you can't get a Chivas fan or an older Chivas fan or an older Club America fan out to Dynamo games? Do you think those people just say, no way, I'm not going to the game?
I think that's a valid point. And talking to my friends when we go watch the soccer games, the Mexican soccer games, they say that if they ask the Dynamo one, the Mexican population to go, they need to get like a bigger name than Torres for them to grab that attention.
So you're saying like an Andreas Guardado, somebody like that. So Torres in the minds of Mexican fans is not the upper elite.
He's in the middle tier of the players.
Middle tier. Okay. This is great information from you. I like this a lot, but I do believe Kubo's going to play in the next game. We know he's a good footballer. The Dynamo will need goals. So let's see what happens out in Seattle. Eric, thank you. This is a great phone call. I hope you call the show again.
Sir.
Very good stuff.
All right. Yes, sir.
All right. So Eric Wayne in there. I like that. Let's get some reaction to Eric. 713-780-3776. Callers, hold on. We're getting to all of you. The Flat Houston, DJ's son, my good friend. It's a great place. TheFlatHouston.com. It's home of the best frozen mojitos in H-Town. Pick of the week, musically, always comes from DJ's son. And due to Thanksgiving, well, we're not getting it this week. But TheFlatHouston.com. Get over there. Great place to go after Thanksgiving. FlatHouston.com. They got local national DJs. DJ's son himself gets behind there and does some spinning as well. Great spot, The Flat Houston. Also, Kings Court, Houston.com. 15 TVs, 15-foot big screen. Play all the games there. La Liga, EPL, MLS, you name it. 903 Hutchins, rooftop patio. Get down there. I was there pregame. It was a wonderful time over there. And again, a big thank you to all the fans and listeners of this show and all the other stuff I do on TV as well. It was so much fun having an opportunity not to be calling the game and just mixing and talking with everybody. So thank you very much for that. Let's also get what you're thankful for this Thanksgiving. We'll take that as well at 713-780-3776. Let's take a Bud Light break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
We lost because in the first half it should be 5-0, and we couldn't score one goal after being so dominant and so dominant in such an easy way that it looks like for many periods of the first half that was impossible not to win. But experience tell when you lose so many chances, you put yourself in this possible situation. I think in the majority of the second half, the feeling of everyone would be, okay, nil-nil. But then they score a goal in the last minute.
So that's Jose Mourinho. Before I respond to that, a couple of quick things here just to remind you. The Carlsberg Team of the Week, Arsenal. We're going to give it to Arsenal, you Arsenal fans. 2-0 winners over Spurs in the North London Derby. Carlsberg, probably the best beer you ever had. So there is the Carlsberg Team of the Week, Arsenal. So Rio Ferdinand, the former Manchester United player, criticized United. So it was a game of two halves. I watched part of it today. And you heard Jose Mourinho there. How much culpability does the manager have right there? And we're going to get back to Dynamo talk here in a second. But Rio Ferdinand said, I think the team lacked discipline in the second half. How many times wave after wave of attack getting behind the Manchester United midfield? It just wasn't good enough in the second half. United is going to advance and get into the round of 16. But not the best of performances here today. Former defender Rio Ferdinand calling out United for a lack of professionalism. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. We're talking Houston Dynamo right now. Let's go to Ronan. Ronan, what's on your mind?
Happy Thanksgiving, Glenn.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. I am very excited for Turkey Day. I have a lot to be thankful for, I can tell you that.
Well, we're thankful for you. You know, since you touched on Man United, that's actually kind of my top priority. I love me some Dynamo, but I'm a Man United. I'm a Red Devil through and through. Yeah, we're through. I think the guys kind of took their foot off the gas today, thinking that they were going to take care of business in the second half. And we've lost there before in the past, so I'm surprised that that we took them so lightly. However, it's going to be a great run in. But let me talk a little bit about Dynamo because, come on, man, the one thing that MLS has done well is they have the two-leg format. I wish we had the promotion relegation system, but we're just not there yet. But the fact that in these playoffs that they have two legs, of course we have a chance. We get an early goal, the whole thing turns on its head, and I think they'll do it.
Yeah, I mean that's the absolute that's the optimistic standpoint to this. Is MLS has done a good job with the playoffs because the playoffs gives everybody hope and potential. The amount of teams that make it, there is a lack of consequence, I think, in the regular season for me. But you're right. If somebody comes out and scores a goal in Seattle and it's 2-1, all of a sudden the game will take on a different complexion. Now, 60,000 people, you don't have Albert Elise. Tyler Derrick, obviously not a part of this. We don't hear a whole lot about that. But that, to some degree, has stirred up the whole postseason as well. Joe Willis has done fine stepping in goal for the Houston Dynamo. We all know he could, he was a starter for a large portion of the season. But, what you do in front of 60,000 on artificial surface, most people are going to say now This is a series that certainly has swayed in a very, very big way to Seattle. And quite frankly, you were fortunate only to lose 2-0 at BBVA Compass Stadium last night.
No, absolutely, Glenn. I'm gonna have my jersey on. I'm gonna be rooting for him. I think it's gonna be an unsung hero, possibly a set piece early on, and then we put the pressure on them to keep that crowd at bay. And I see us going through. So I'll leave it at that. I love your show. Keep doing what you do, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Ronan. Thank you very much. Well, the only thing I would say to Ronan's point there at the end, Dynamo aren't scoring goals. Only got 2 goals in the last 3 games. They're struggling. Yeah, they had some chances last night. Mauro Minota's beginning of the second half had a wonderful opportunity after beating 3 or 4 guys. It was a spectacular shift of movement with a ball at his feet. He slipped around 3 or 4 guys and then couldn't apply the finish. You had Albert Elise at the beginning of the game. So two very important parts, a beginning of a half and twice. You score these goals, the timeliness of these goals can make things very, very different. Back to the phone line, 713-780-3776. Are you concerned about the Dynamo's struggles from an attacking standpoint? And do you think they will score goals in Seattle? What is your takeaway from last night? Unbelievable crowd, 22,600. It's a night you want to deliver the goods from an entertainment and a winning value. Obviously, that didn't happen. That does happen sometimes. Let's go to Mick. Mick, what's on your mind tonight?
Glenn Davis, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And to you, sir. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. This is a wonderful time of the year, isn't it?
It certainly is. You and I go way back, Glenn. You and I played together many, many years ago.
Is this not Mick Reardon?
It's that Mick Reardon from Boston.
Is it Mick Reardon? You're kidding me. Yeah. What a great sign to hear you. How are you, Mick?
Good, good. So the big thing was I wanted to talk to you and wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. And thank you, because for all these years, you've not only done a great job in Houston talking about the great game, but, we've listened to all over the country to you, people that have known you. I know you were up in the Northeast for a long time. And so we've always appreciated what you brought to the table, Glenn, and I wanted to thank you for that.
Okay, I want you to stop for a second, though, because I want to relay to people who you are. So Mick Reardon was a teammate of mine. We played at Davis and Elkins College in West Virginia. He was an extremely talented All-American center back. And I'm going to ask you about this, actually, because I'm not going to let you go without asking you this.
Well, but that's not what I called, Glenn.
No, I know. Okay, I'm going to let you go first, but I just want people to understand who you are. You were an incredibly talented player, and you also had a trial at Leeds United. So we'll get back to that in a second. So you carry on.
Yes.
And you kicked me once in the gym, too, when we were in those winters in the winter indoor games. You cracked me across the knees, and I haven't forgotten that.
No, but I'm sure you got me back, Glenn. I would imagine. I can only imagine that.
Yeah, you were bigger than me.
No question about it. I will say that playing with you was a great pleasure. You were a hell of a player. You were a year or two younger than I was. And we knew as soon as you arrived at the D&E that you were going to be something special. And you did turn out to be something special. And you've carried it on through your soccer life and done really, really well. I'm very proud to have known you back all those years and played with you. So there goes for that. So let me just talk about Houston. You know, I watched some of the game and then I watched the highlights. And the fact of the matter is, a goal is going to change this game. If they get the first goal, there's a real good chance. You know, it's game on, basically. They did have a chance in the second half. I thought the lad should have stuck it away, Glenn. And that would have made it 2-1 and would have been game on right from the get-go in Seattle. So the bottom line is they can certainly come back, but I think Seattle took their goals extremely well. 2 great headers.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive mistake for the penalty, you know, it was very poor. It was a very poor decision making from that defender. I thought he could have done a lot better there. But I do think, you know, they've got a chance. They obviously need to get a goal. They've left themselves with a uphill battle. But they can certainly pull it out of the bag, I would believe.
Mick, let me take you back to that play. That was Jahlil Anibaba when he kind of collars the guy around the shoulder. And, of course, he goes down rather easily. And these are all split-second decisions. You made them when you played.
Sure.
But I looked at Joe Willis's positioning, and I'm going, could he have trusted his goalkeeper, you know, in a quick snapshot there and not have elected to reach out? And that's been one that a lot of people have talked about today over on the Facebook, on the Soccer Matters page and stuff. A lot of people have talked about that. Could Jahlil Anibaba have maybe trusted the positioning of his goalkeeper and elected not to kind of grab him and put him in a position where he could get sent off?
Absolutely. And I feel like the Baba lad could have made up some ground. It's not like he was pulling the trigger when he pulled him back. I don't think he was just yet ready to pull the trigger. And the keeper proved in the next play by saving the penalty that he had what it takes to make a snap save. So I think you're right there, Glenn. But I also feel like he could have let it go for another split second and maybe got a tackle in as opposed to trying to pull him back. You know, I felt he was making up the ground and just didn't trust himself and pulled himself back or pulled the forward back. He should never have done it. I just felt it was a rash decision. But that's what happens in a box. You know, people panic, Glenn, as you know.
Yeah, and these are split-second decisions. I can think of a number of times I made some poor decisions in there and conceded penalties, et cetera, et cetera. But no, I think it's worth the debate and worth really thinking about. So what else stood out from you in this game? The concern I think we have here in Houston now is it's a team that started off the year scoring a ton of goals. It's going to be without one of its great pacey Hondurans and Albert Elise. They've only scored twice in their last three games. They didn't score a lot prior to that. But again, it's the playoffs. It only takes one, and you're right. You know, you get the game's first goal out there, things are different.
You know, Glenn, what Houston really needs is someone to stand up and be a hero. It can happen. You know, on a given day, somebody who's not always scoring can always step up and find a scoring boots. That's certainly what they need. You know, they have to a bit of luck. You know, get an early chance, stick it in, and then it's all bets are off. I believe they'll really go tongue for leather trying to get the results. You know, so that's what I'd be hoping for. I have no particular affinity with Seattle or Houston for that matter, but because of you, I'm a bit of a closet Houston fan all the way up
there.
There
you
Boston.
Go, Mick. I love that. Loyalty runs deep. Well, listen, all the things you said, you know, for me as a kid from New Jersey and playing in a college program that had incredibly talented kids from overseas, that had a different soccer culture, it's all beneficial to all of us guys that were American guys as well. And that was one of the reasons I chose going there, was because we had players from all over the world, and
we certainly did, Glenn. Yeah. We certainly did, and, you know, I came over and you know, lads like Digger Largy and Rodo Savio and Michael Grayson and what have you, they were tremendous players, as you know, full internationals in their own their own countries, Jamaica and Trinidad. But the bottom line is, I remember you coming in as an American. You were one of the top Americans in the country at the time, and you proved it on the field then, and I believe you were an All-American yourself as well. So, you know, the bottom line is you have to learn. And then you have to try and produce yourself, and you were certainly able to do that. It was a great pleasure. I often think it was like the dark ages, really. We were, you know, soccer wasn't as well-defined as it is today, and we were forging a bit of a path. But boy, oh boy, did Davis and Elkins and other colleges we played against, they found some terrific players, Glenn, you included, and they nurtured them. And then someone like you goes on and talks about the game for a lifetime, which has been very valuable to not only us from overseas, but also the American fan, which you've helped to nurture and bring along.
You know what,
throughout
Mick,
your career.
I was like
much
a lot of guys. I was like a lot of guys, including, you know, a lot of my teammates in college and peers growing up in New Jersey. We had to find a way to remain in the game, and really a lot of it after, you know, if you got a crack and played a couple of years in the pros, and it was a very different thing, and leagues were folding, but then it was, you had to be a coach. I mean, I got an opportunity to be a youth coach. I wanted to stay in the game.
Right.
And then obviously I get this amazing opportunity to kind of nurture a media career. So the intent was never about money. It was always about being involved. Some of the best things I think I was ever involved in was certainly working with youth, and I see a ton of them at the game last night, and it just brings a smile to my face because they're guys that love the game, and that was my main goal, was to light a fire under people to love the game and continue in the game. But dealing with parents and these kids, I mean, it was a great life lesson. And, you know, it wasn't about making money. And seeing the guys that have stuck with the game and have forged out great careers, a lot of that stuff came later where they did make a better living at it. So there's a lot of great people around the country, and it's time to pool the resources and keep moving onward and upward.
Yeah, no question. The game is in a very healthy place, I believe. You know, I think the national team obviously had a blip, and they'll recover from that. I'm still coaching. I coach for GPS up here, which is a national program.
They got
teams all the way from Maine, all over the place, all the way down to your neck of the woods.
Excellent. Yeah.
So it's good to keep involved, but do appreciate all you've done all these years, Glenn, and like to listen in every now and then, and always enjoy your very learned opinion on the game. And I'm sure a lot of, you know, Houston, hopefully they know what a gem they have in you, and appreciate that you're out there.
Well, you're a kind man, Mick. Hey, before I go, give me a quick version of your trial at Leeds after you were in college, because you were an excellent player. I remember you went over to Leeds and you had a trial at Leeds United.
That's right. What happened was, Glenn, I'd gone home after we finished our season. And that season, you and I, we'd ended up third in the nation. We won 3-2 in the third place playoff against Alabama, I believe it was, which was a great result. And then I went home to Ireland, and I was having a great time. You know, for the Christmas break, obviously, we were in college. Mm-hmm. Went home for a Christmas break, and I played with Drogheda in the League of Ireland. And the Drogheda coach said, "Hey, Mick, you know, Leeds wants you to come over." So I flew over to Leeds and was picked up, of course, brought to the stadium, and I stayed with a family close to Elland Road, which is where Leeds United had their ground.
Famous.
And little did I know, but the Leeds first team was playing the next night in a friendly over the Christmas against Sheffield United, which is a real huge local derby, Glenn. And I have to be honest, I haven't talked about this for a long, long time. So for you to, you know, bring it up, it's making me think about this stuff. But mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, I played for Leeds United's first team with, you know, some terrific players. Tony DiRigo, Brian Greenough, who played for England.
Oof,
Brian
names.
Flynn was the captain of Wales. A bunch of other, Byron Stevenson, I remember, he was a Welsh international, always stood out. He was a terrific striker of a ball. But I ended up playing for them. And unfortunately, on the night, I did fine. I marked a guy named Bob Hatton, which had been he'd been the top scorer in the Football League the year before. He didn't score. I was able to keep him quiet. But the bottom line was they had a lot of players on contract there, and I was told, you know what, you're right there, but it's not going to work out at this time. And that was fine. You know, that was fine. I came back to college, and then I ended up, after college, going back and playing in the League of Ireland before coming back to the States to go to graduate school.
Yeah, how many years did you play in the League of Ireland? Because you were a pro for a couple
years. I
just
played for 2 years in the League of Ireland and then back to the States.
Fabulous.
And that was my choice again. I played and started in the League of Ireland. I mean, it was my grounding, first of all in Ireland and then college ball here, was very, very strong. And playing in the League of Ireland was not a problem for me. I was well able for it and started and played, you know, every game basically. But then when I did come back, it's funny because, you know, you and I went to college together, but you remember Pete Morris?
Yep.
Well, Pete Morris and I played together for a Portuguese club out of Boston called Academica. Good. There was a big league.
Mick,
here,
listen,
big
my
Portuguese league.
I hate to do this, but I got to cut you off because my producer's yelling. We got to get to a commercial break. I got to pay the bills. What a complete pleasure. I'll contact you once I get off the air. Have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you for adding so much to the program tonight, and I look forward to catching up with you in a deeper way, okay?
Same to you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Man, what a great surprise that was. Bye-bye. Mick Reardon, my former teammate in college. Very good player. Big center back. About 6'4", could play the game. But it was wonderful to mix with players from different countries. And that was part of the education in the college game that I got. Smaller schools back in those days were really into the sport. Quick word here. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. It's John Daspit, my friend. He'll work for you 24-7. Fight for your right for compensation. Do it with the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. So our thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm for their support of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Let's take a break.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Don't forget, Kicking for Houston, the celebrity soccer match. It's going to benefit Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. It's December 16th. Stuart Holden put this together. Dynamo Charities will be involved in this. Brian Ching will play in this. A number of different players and celebrities, including Steve Nash. It's Kicking for Houston, benefiting Hurricane Harvey. It's December 16th, 5 Central Time. It'll be at BBVA Compass Stadium, www.kickingforhouston.com. As host of Soccer Matters, I remind you, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Thanksgiving is a perfect time to break out a Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you, though, that most importantly, around Thanksgiving, it's about your friends and family. And a nice cold bucket of Bud Lights, well, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, it is a good thing. And remember, it's not about the parties, it's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Now, coming up later in the show, I've got Rob Moore. He is the managing director of On Target Football Consultants. He's London-based. His organization recommends talent to European clubs. A couple of the players he has: Christian Pulisic of Dortmund, Haji Wright of Schalke, Isaiah Young of Werder Bremen. Just a couple to mention there. So what's pretty cool here is he's got a kid named Juan Pablo Torres, who's at Lokeren in Belgium, who just recently got a start at 18 years of age in 4 months. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Thoughts on the Dynamo Seattle game. Manchester United going down 1-0 today to Basel, despite the fact that they had 69% of the possession. So I guess back to Rob Moore. This is an interview you're not going to want to miss, and we're going to run part one tonight. We'll do part two next week. But he talks about right now the fact that there's no barrier to entry for American players going to Germany. He says that's going to change. He'll tell you why in the interview. But we talk about Christian Pulisic, what they saw. He's got some amazing insight, and it's an interview you will not want to miss. Later in the night also, Bill Brown, part two. I know it's taken a while to get to this. The 30-year Astros play-by-play man, a wonderful gentleman. We're going to get his second part of his interview on this program as well. All right, Victor Ariza, grab a microphone. Our good friend here on Soccer Matters plays a big part in our show, gets the Facebook going all the time. All right, so give me some of your initial thoughts on last night, the Dynamo against Seattle.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I want to give some props to the fans, to the organization behind the event last night, the way the TIFO was set up, the atmosphere last night. I think that cannot go unsaid, and especially
felt it coming up to the stadium, didn't
right? And you felt it. You felt the electricity in the air. You know, Mayor said Buster Turner in the house, Booker T in the house, Rockets player in the name.
Fun stuff, and it made it fun. Now, what I'm going to say to you, you're pointing out all the great stuff. That needs to be the standard, though.
It should.
I know you have to break out additional things because it's a Western Conference and it costs a little bit of money. But why can't that be our standard here in Houston? Why can't we all hold that to our standard, including us, the fans? I mean, we have a say in this. Why can't we? 713-780-3776. Carry on, Victor.
Yeah, I think that's a question for Texan Army, El Batallón, and it'll be interesting to see what what they say, but I just want to applaud everybody for what they did last night. I know quite a few fans are flying to Seattle for the second leg. And, you know, I think here's the thing. The whole season, the players were saying, you know, we want to play in front of a packed stadium. They had it last night. They had it, and I don't know if it was nerves, but they didn't deliver that. And especially, I think maybe there should be more pressure, shouldn't there? Because we're talking about a team that at home was strong all season, only lost once, and that was because, right, they were distraught after Hurricane Harvey, almost unbeatable. Last night, it didn't seem like that. Last night, it seemed like Seattle was at home. I mean, they were dictating the Houston Dynamo.
Well, Seattle looked the more polished team. Seattle looked like a defending MLS Cup champion. Seattle on the ball, I thought, which I don't hear enough people talking about, they were excellent on the ball. I mean, Svensson and all these guys can get out of pressure on their own. They kept the ball in a beautiful way last night, which also helped them control the game. And in concert with getting the game's first goal, it is a big, big deal.
I think the preparation behind this game was also key. That's something. Behind this game. 2 weeks to prepare.
Well, they looked a better prepared team. Yeah. And it's easy to say that. And listen, it's easy to say that, especially when you make team mistakes and you concede goals. But they looked prepared. They looked very respectful of the Dynamo as well. They did not look flustered to me at all, also. And they looked polished, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think maybe. And this might come off differently than what it means, but I think maybe the Dynamo didn't respect Seattle as much as they should have, because I think they were focused too much on the underdog talk, that nobody's giving us a chance. And, you know, going to the practices, had I heard that just once, I would say, all right, it's just coach speak. But you hear multiple days, you hear from multiple people, you hear from Wilmer Cabrera, you hear from a player like Mauro Manotas, who Mauro Manotas is usually a guy that kind of has...
Well, I had a conversation with Chris Canetti, the Dynamo president, good conversation, and, you know, he was kind of saying the same thing. Everybody thinks we're the underdog, and I said, you know, Chris, I don't hear that from my educated commentator friends, and you know, I'm talking about guys that I speak to regularly. They all thought the Dynamo going into this have a great shot with their home record if they can find their goal scoring and the way they have been defending as a team. So nobody to me seemed to be slighting. Now, maybe the general media around the country, because of 60,000 fans and you know, Seattle big spending and all that. But I think that the underdog card, well, it's always in sports, lose that.
Right, and I love that Brad Evans.
We're kings. Right. We can eat at tables with kings, can't we?
Right, and Brad Evans, I left. He had one tweet, what was it, last night, where it said, get rid of that narrative. You know, you can't say they're the underdogs with one less win and during the season, and it's true. And MLS, you know, right? How many times has Wilmer Cabrera said the season, MLS, everybody can win. All of a sudden, you know, oh, nobody's giving us a chance. Who cares? During the season, you know.
You think it was manufactured by a manager?
I don't know if it was a motivation. And if it was motivation, I think it backfired because it didn't work. Maybe it was too relaxed of a preparation because I think, you know, immediately after Houston won at Portland, the next day, Seattle's already at training. And granted, they had, you know, 3 days from their last game. They're already at training. They're already getting to work. Meanwhile, Houston, 4 days off. Kind of a little bit of relaxed that weekend. They're working not on game planning, but instead on like physical stuff. And honestly, they only had really last weekend to prepare for this game. So,
well, they had the time. I mean, it's all what a manager does between the time.
I
don't know what went down there because the practices and the sessions are usually closed. And, you know, it's hard to really know. I think it's very tricky, though, for both these teams. And that's why my number one key going into this thing was how the manager spent that time and who's going to have their team best prepared. It's tough.
Yeah.
Victor, good passion. Stay with me. We're going to take a break here. I got a quick word here for Budweiser. As host of Soccer Matters, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Thanksgiving, good time for Bud Light. Grab your friends, grab your family, and grab an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, any other day of the week, remember, it's not about the parties, it's about the friends you made along the way. And by the way, tomorrow is a wonderful reminder we have things to be thankful for. And there's usually somebody that's worse off than you are. So keep that in mind. That's my little pontification because I feel like I'm a pretty blessed guy. We'll take a break. By the way, Bud Light, the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. I like that. I like that. From Victor Ariza, bring in the passion. It's what we need. 713-780-3776.